Thought Press Network.
C-R-I-T.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Crit or Die.
The Three Amigos.
I almost said the old one. I was like, no.
You thought about it for a moment. You went, wait, what? I can't do Bears.
I had nine responses. And then the tenth response is the correct one.
I don't know what bear I am yet. You guys haven't decided that.
We are the three fucking animated birds that wear sombreros.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yes, that's what we are.
I think one of them is actually named Pedro, so it ends up working out.
Fuck, I'm Donald.
Wait, who?
Do I have to take my pants off? I don't know, because I'm the third one that came into this. I'm assuming I'm Donald.
I mean, that's not necessarily true.
I don't know. If anybody personality-wise, I would probably be...
Which one's Pedro?
Like Pedro Carioca, I think is his name.
That's the one that actually looks Mexican out of the other three. Which is fucked up, because out of the birds...
That's Disney for you. Mexican birds, I guess a parrot and a fucking whack-ass American duck.
I would be Donald Duck. For sure.
Really? I don't know. I think I'm the one with the more Donald Duck personality. I get like over the top and angry and incomprehensible.
So none of them are named Pedro.
Oh, cool. There you go. Good job, because we're all racist.
It's Donald Duck.
Okay.
It's Panchito Pistoles.
Wow.
Panchito Pistole.
Red one. Okay. And then it's Jose Carioca.
Jose Carioca.
Which smokes a cigar and has an umbrella.
That's kind of a bird.
That's the parrot.
Yeah. Now we have to think. Guys, everybody that listens to this episode, please, take a moment.
Choose which bird we are.
I'm not saying one's obvious, but someone here doesn't wear pants on a regular basis in public.
All right, so you're saying I'm Donald?
I was about to say, somebody has an aversion to clothing from the waist down. Somebody likes to have their dangus.
All right. Anyway.
What are we here for again?
We're here for gaming.
Not bird talk. But yes, welcome everybody. Of course, I have with me Pedro. Hello, Pedro.
That's right. It's me again.
And we have the magnificent effervescent, I like to say.
Effervescent? Is that a word? Is that a new word?
I like both.
Words.
Effervescent.
I enjoy both of those
I'm
words.
A wordsmith. But yes. Welcome, guys.
My name's Jeff. He didn't say my name. But okay.
He just said he was effervescent.
Yeah. He's like, the effervescent. No name.
That's his handle. His handle is the effervescent one.
An effervescent has no name.
The other name just is.
Oh my God! He's not the water bear. Never mind. Let's just keep
no,
going.
No, we have a lot of water. I think we have two water bears.
Have a sea bear, right? We got sea bear. Yeah. We have a land bear, polar bear, which is me. We got space bear.
Yeah.
We still got to think about one for you.
Yeah.
But yes,
I was
going
to say sky bear, but I mean
sky bear
somewhere between the land and space.
Well, honestly, I mean, after...
That actually is more terrifying. Like, a bear in space is not that terrifying because he's in space, but a bear in the sky, like, I would not want to fuck with a flying bear.
That means it created a rudimentary fucking contraption that allowed him to glide, at least.
I like my sky bear to have, like the flying squirrels, just extra skin under the arms, and
he just glides. Oh, my God. That is scary. Can you imagine?
That's my sky
bear. So my favorite glitch that I had in Fallout 4 was I walked into a place, and there were 10 Yaogwai spawned in the sky. Not moving.
Don't feed them after midnight.
No, I shot one, and then they all fell, and then I had to run because I would have been instantly executed by 10 very angry flying bears.
That's awesome. Said Mogwai.
Mogwai, no. That's a mod waiting to happen.
No, I think that's a scary vision. If you think about this, like you're walking through a fucking forest, literally a fucking bear from the top of the tree jumps off.
Nope.
And then he just spreads his fucking wings like a fucking squirrel monkey, and then just
extended bat wings coming at. That's a bad way.
That's Rampage. It's the fucking movie Rampage is coming out.
I'm on board with this.
Of course, this bear can fly.
He is absorbed sky. Yes, the bears love gaming again. It's not the birds.
Sky bear.
Oh my God, it's better than Care Bear. All right, anyway, guys, thank you guys for coming back out. I mean, it's been a bit since we recorded. I know that a couple of things actually came out. One of the things I wanted to talk about real quick was that we actually had an event at a local performance studio here, Artistic Vibes.
You may have heard of it if you listen to any of our branded podcasts. Big ups to Artistic Vibes.
Well.
Big ups to the place that we work at.
Of course. And we had a Ready Player Nam, which is an event that we host video game, you know, video games, classic console, as well as tabletop board gaming. And, you know, when we feel feisty enough, we actually have D&D sessions that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that, you know, one of my co-hosts here was actually in a one-shot. Not only just a one-shot campaign for D&D, but this is part of the Dungeons & Dragons storyline.
The universe?
The universe.
The B... Oh, God, I was going to say the BCU, but it's not cinematic.
The cinematic universe.
Yeah. The BNDU,
pretty much.
The Dragons universe.
But yes.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I decided to do it. Like, Will, he was the DM, which... He's been my DM for about 15 years in my games.
Damn.
And since you know, high school, actually.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah. So it was it was interesting. I can't go into too much detail because it does tie into your game.
Yeah.
However, I will say that I played a dwarf monk. First time I ever played a monk, and I want to play a monk again now in a full campaign because I loved playing the monk, specifically because I didn't need clothes.
Ah, yes.
Because
rampant nudity, very effective.
Oh, monks never wear... In fact, the less clothes you have, I think the higher AC you have.
You should.
Really?
Yeah. You should get an extra attack for the at least.
Yeah. I mean, you're not unencumbered by anything. Yeah,
seriously.
Oh, but it was... Depending on how long you are, there is a second attack coming.
That's your secondary weapon.
Secondary.
But yeah, I mean, it was really fun. We dealt with basically Arnold Schwarzenegger commando hobgoblins that came out of the walls.
That terrifies me for the future of our campaign.
Yeah, just the fucking that they gave me was great, but it was a cool game. We're gonna be doing. I think he's gonna continue that in
that one shot.
That well, because he was continuing. It's a one shot, but he was continuing from the last one shot from the last Ready Player.
Oh, okay, that's actually pretty cool.
Okay, so that's cool, but it's also kind of pointless for us because I'm like none of these are recorded. Like we need to fucking record this so people can hear what's going on in these stories.
Well, you'll find out. Well,
not us. I'm talking about
those
audience.
People. Yeah.
No, the audience would love to hear because from a little bit of the story you told us, and I think you should just give a little bit.
I'll tell you a little crumb.
Tell us your greatest hits from this.
My greatest hit was my guy was a street urchin, and there was a pool of caca water, and there was glowing shit at the bottom.
As you do in glowing stuff.
And you know, there was poop and a pee water, and I was like, well, there was high elf. There was a bunch of people that were like, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't want anything to do with this. And I just didn't say a word to anybody, took my robe off, and just dove right in.
What is it? What's the song? Riff rat. Street rat.
I like your version of it. It's very, very weird. Like it's like hopping jazz version.
And it was quite interesting. I found an alchemist belt that had broken into the liquid, which led to rolling a percentile die, and I rolled the essentially highest that you could get on my roll. And ended up being able to breathe fire for an hour. So
awesome.
I was a butt-naked dwarf monk breathing fire running into
that's
combat.
Terrifying. And didn't you have a little buddy with you?
Oh, and I had a little pet mouse named Penelope.
Oh, that's awesome.
That I made drink the water, who turned into the size of a cat after she drank the water.
Oh, wait a minute. To the size of a cat?
Yeah.
No.
Let me stroke my beard.
He's not going to allow it.
What makes you think that this cat won't just show up?
It might show up, but you're not going to be able to use it as a mount. You keep trying to mount everything that's larger than a fist.
But it was a very fun game, and I think for our next event, I may sign up for it again.
Awesome.
To continue it and hopefully continue with
the I would love for you to get like every angle of like, man, you guys have no idea what you're about to fucking run into.
It was hysterical, like, because there were some guys that they were taking it kind of really seriously, and it was just me just being... me just eating shit. I'm like, I'm a street urchin with an 8 intelligence.
Eight
charisma.
Oh, even better.
An 8 charisma. Ooh. And I had a 10 intelligence.
Oh,
so I didn't give a fuck about shit.
I don't fucking care. Fuck you. Fuck this. It's like, fuck like, that water.
He's like, oh, there's no. I'm naked. Really?
Yeah.
Clothes?
What are clothes?
Why naked now?
Who needs to be proud?
But it's things like that we want to encourage you here at Critter Die to partake in local gaming. Because you too can have a naked monk dwarf.
Guys, if it's not a naked monk dwarf, hey, why don't you just do something wild? Be an elf barbarian.
What?
You know. Oh, no. Halfling barbarian.
Gnome barbarian.
Halfling barbarian.
Halfling or
a gnome
barbarian.
Gnome barbarian, yes.
Oh.
With delusions of grandeur. I like it.
Oh my god, that's great. That would be amazing.
That's my next character's gonna be.
Oh my god, or what is it? Like a fucking dragonborn bard. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh,
do it.
Yeah. I have heard a podcast where there already is a dragonborn bard.
Oh, there you go.
His name is Scales.
In fact,
that's
it's
pretty fucking good.
On so many
it's
levels.
Too fucking good.
That's a knee slapper. But you know what? It would be interesting to do an all bard campaign.
I'm working.
I know
on,
someone
yeah,
is
working,
working
on
it.
One.
What?
Someone's working on it.
You better call my ass for that one.
I will. It was probably going to be about 5 or 6 people, so I'm trying.
Oh, sweet!
Great. I'm going to start making my kobold bard from now.
Yeah, it's going to be one of these things where everybody starts off as a bard, and then everybody have a subclass that you can pick from the beginning. But it's yeah.
Okay, that'll be pretty cool. No, but speaking of gaming, not only tabletop.
Yeah.
I know that there's news now. Of fucking esports, of electronic sports. I know that's a growing thing for the past, I want to say 6-7 years now.
Yeah.
Esports has been on the incline. That's so much so that it's actually on ESPN2 on a regular basis, which
on
is
TBS
amazing
as well.
And on TBS. And
I mean, it was on standard ESPN with fucking Street Fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is coming from a guy who watches ESPN3 so I can watch the fucking Magic the Gathering fucking tournaments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact to see something like that on ESPN2 is actually pretty awesome.
Wait, do they actually do that on ESPN3?
Yes, they
They've
do.
They've been doing Magic for a while.
Yes,
now,
man.
Yeah.
The Worlds, bro. They do that for Worlds, they do.
I watched the documentary on Netflix, but I didn't know that they did it on ESPN3.
Oh, man, it's pretty cool.
They got pretty big. I mean, at this point, it's kind of pointless, and I think we'll bring this issue up when we're actually talking about esports.
Okay.
So we'll just keep it going.
Aren't we about to talk about esports right now?
The reason why I bring it up is because Jeff actually ran into something that, you know.
Yeah, well, Jeff, you tell us the story, and then, yeah, and we'll bounce off that.
So it came out that in Texas, it didn't say I think it was on BuzzFeed it came out. It didn't say the city. It said just said Texas. Mm-hmm. They're going to be building a $10 million esports facility that's going to be 100,000 square feet and can sit 1,000 people.
So here, okay. Okay.
Go Pedro.
There's a lot to take in.
Go
here.
Pedro. Go Pedro.
So $10 million is a lot of money for like us like fucking ridiculous normal ass folk.
Yeah.
But if you're supposed to build like a state of the art thing, like I don't necessarily think they're going to be able to build a decent stadium for that amount of money to cater to that amount of people and be able to make their money back.
You really don't think so?
Oh no, I don't think that you're going to be able to. Okay. So here's the problem with like streaming in general. Streaming these types of esports games, that's the thing. They're bigger streaming audiences. It's really hard to be able to get a lot of people to be able to come out. This isn't like the only exceptions to this I can think are like Evo, which is like this huge event that's not just one game. It's like dozens and dozens of fighting games that are going on all the time. And even then, you know, that's like one time a year that you're able to do that. Like assuming that you're building a stadium means that you want to do multiple events over and over again.
Right.
And there are just not enough games right now that have the kind of audiences that will be able to draw that consistently. Even like the more popular things, like, I mean, just take Overwatch, take Battlegrounds, take Fortnite. All of these things are super popular to watch on Twitch, right?
Yeah, Twitch streaming.
It's super easy to watch. It's going to be so hard to get people to come out to watch that, especially when you consider that a lot of these games are based off teams,
right?
And it's really hard to appreciate a game if you cannot observe the entire game at one point, and you can't do that with these first-person shooters. You can only cut to individual people at a time, which makes it personally hard for me to be able to enjoy watching that, because in general they'll cut to the people I don't give a fuck about. Like,
right.
Like a lot of times I'll watch that to try to improve, to see like, oh, different strategies for the characters I like. Except they never cut to the fucking characters I like. So you're going to have that problem to be able to get that. Now, it's a little bit different if it's something like Street Fighter or like fighting games, because that is something that you could observe and watch. Like, that's like a competition, right? It's not like a first-person shooter, even a third-person shooter, where it's just like one small perspective on a larger conflict.
No. Okay. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
You kind of get where I'm going.
I agree in some aspects.
Right.
The one thing that I think that you're missing is the opportunity for more games. Like, for instance, here's a big thing. There's a game called Summoner's War. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I've heard the name.
It's a mobile gaming that's actually gotten very big.
Yeah.
Rocket Gaming is also one. It's even being sponsored by WWE.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Those are big games that people actually watch. Like, I've seen tournaments, and it's crazy that these tournaments, and these are $100,000, $200,000 fucking purse tournaments. I would see stuff like that. Madden, for sure.
FIFA.
FIFA. Oh my God.
Not Madden so much anymore. FIFA though.
No, FIFA is ridiculous. FIFA is ridiculous.
Yeah, they do the FIFA tournaments on ESPN. I mean, what I was gonna like, what you were saying too, is the opportunity. That's where I was kind of thinking too. Is I think they're banking on the fact that the average gamer that may not think they have the skill to compete in there, if they do a tournament that it's open to anybody and it's a X number, they cut it off obviously because they can't have 20,000 people sign up for a tournament. But if it gives you the opportunity, even if they charge a low fee, but these people get a chance to compete against people that they watch on Twitch, and it's a challenge event. People are going to pay money for that just to say that they played against so-and-so from the Fortnite expert.
I can see that if you have these popular streamers coming in. Again, you got to have the money people to be able to come in to draw. But a lot of these people who are, like, stream on Twitch and stuff, people aren't there for the quality of their gaming. They're there for the personality of it. And I think that's the largest problem in all of this, is that it's difficult to be able to have personality with these types of games because you're already, like, there's like a level of abstraction you already have with like a first-person shooter and you're fucking around with characters. Like, it's a little bit easier when you're doing something like a fighting game. Again, one-on-one. It's easy to have a personality when it's one person versus one person. But, like, you have to build up, like, team personalities and stuff. So I don't see that ever being successful enough to be like a continuous business model. Now, I'm not saying that people won't make money off of it. I'm just saying that maybe building an entire arena for that, like, I don't know. I don't know. I obviously, we'll have to see whenever it actually gets finished. But, like, I am definitely not sure how that's going to pan out.
And that gets you. I honestly think that having this arena, and this is the thing. I don't know if on the article it talks about the reason why they chose Houston.
Well, I don't know if it said Houston. It just said Texas.
Texas. I don't know, because in Texas, I don't know if Texas is a huge hub for gaming. I don't know if that is the reason why they chose that spot. I don't know if it's because of the location that they're able to get it to work on, and I guess the cheap, not cheap labor, but the cheap construction costs.
Yeah,
things like
maybe
that.
Maybe tax breaks or something like that.
Tax breaks for it. Because I'm also thinking about the sponsorship opportunities here. This is something where you have an arena specifically for e-gaming.
Right.
That means you want Rocket Game. That means you want anybody that has a game that has the potential for tournament style. Bro, even Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Even Pokemon to this
Pokemon day. Pokemon is huge, but the way that those tournaments are structured are not structured like large like this. The type of games that I'm thinking that get to this level are, again, your big fighting games, stuff like StarCraft.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stuff like Dota and these, but a lot of these things end up being, again, team experiences, and that I think is the biggest problem they're having now, because they've been doing Overwatch leagues now for this. They've in the middle. I think they're nearing the end of their.
What
first
about
season.
Heroes of the Storm?
Or League of Legends? Big.
League of Legends is another
League
one.
League is fucking huge.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Again, but it's also a team.
Oh no! So, but yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, because I just looked at a couple of additional things from there. So they're not. It's not just gonna be one arena. They're gonna have, it's a multiplex where they're gonna make it into basically a high end esports bar. So there's gonna be pool tables. There's gonna
that makes a lot more
be
sense.
A lot of lounges.
That actually could work. Yeah, that actually has a better chance.
Yeah, there's gonna be multiple public areas. Multiple. There's gonna be one main arena that they showed
See,
video.
That makes
mock-ups.
A lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Okay.
They showed video mock-ups that you can adjust it depending on the game you're playing. So they showed it that if it's one game where they had to line up the teams on one side, they set it up in one mock-up. They had another one when it's a fighting game that it's in the, they're all in the center of the arena with four giant TVs pointing out to the crowd.
Okay.
So that you can
watch the
game.
It's a very sophisticated version of Brainazium. That's just going to go with that.
That's a great way, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
So it could work.
That has a much larger opportunity to actually be effective, because it's on top. It's a multi entertainment structure as opposed to just being something only for competition.
And it's going to be open 24/7.
Ooh,
that's gonna be interesting. Just
the kind of seedy.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm like, ooh, you're gonna have some fucked up people walking.
It's
in
that
there.
4 a.m. fuck crowd.
I play Street Fighter on this dick.
Yeah.
I want to play that Street Fighter game.
It's like, why is he only hitting the jab? Why is he only hitting the left punch?
I'm using my dick. I'm a fifth of Jack in, and I just want to see Cammy's titties shook.
It's just fierce punch over and over again.
Can you imagine, they're like, oh, these guys haven't stopped playing the fucking volleyball tournament from Dead or Alive. It's like, just let them go.
Just let them go. Just let them stay in their corner. It's better that way.
Well, but I think, see, now with that added information, yeah, it makes it a lot easier. It's the business model is way more feasible with that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I agree.
I mean, and I also know, and this feels like, I love it because Jeff is bringing the news. We need Jeff.
We need somebody.
Jeff brings in the news. Because I believe you were also, if memory serves me correct, talking about a game that's coming out, or it's a game that's already out now, Battlefront.
Battlefront 2 has been out for a bit.
Yeah.
But it's been getting a lot of controversy because of the pay-for-play.
You might have heard about this.
Yeah, maybe. Just a little bit.
The microtransactions. It kind of went all the way up to politics.
Yeah, it kind of change.org.
Yeah.
Or change.gov may have.
Might have been invoked. It might have been like, hey, this might be gambling.
So yeah. So the issue was that there was a huge issue with microtransactions in the game, and you couldn't unlock characters, and it would take you, I think
40 hours to unlock one single hero character.
Right.
One single one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
Wow. It was something absurd that it would take you like, I think, 7 months or something like that of playing the game
to get everybody
nonstop to unlock everybody. Or you could pay microtransactions and
to get the chance of
getting
unlocking
them.
Everybody.
Right. Because it was
not even
boxes,
unlocking
right?
the character. It was loot boxes.
It was loot boxes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, okay, so the order of it was like people saw, like, there was a preview event and they're like, okay, these costs are kind of high for unlocking these heroes, right?
Right.
And then the beta came out and they were like, holy fuck, this is way higher. And so there was a big to do about it. Then they lowered the cost of it, but it still was ridiculously fucking
That's
high
crazy.
And demanding people pay money to have the chance of unlocking it, and it just ended up snowballing into this thing where the game was actually legitimate. Like, the last one I think sold like 13 million copies, and this one took like a 4 or 5 million copy hit.
I didn't pick it up. I picked up the first one and I didn't pick up this one.
Yeah.
See, but that sucks, because I actually like Battlefront.
Yeah.
I actually like their series.
It's fun to play. And well, that's the thing. It's gameplay wise, it's still great, but you put really shitty business practices behind it.
How dumb do they think the fucking gamer is?
Oh, they think you're
fucking
stupid.
Well, there was one person that I think either they did the math or they actually purchased just to see how much it would be, and it was like $2,800 to unlock everybody.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, first off, I need to know where he got that budget so that we can have that here.
Yeah.
And then second,
research.
Yeah, research.
Then, I work at a loss.
Yes.
There's and a then, lot of 4 a.m. e-gaming at that
point. Yeah.
A lot of dick slapping on a controller.
This is great.
But
that's all I can think about now. Yeah, legend.
So the reason we brought it up, though, is it just got announced that they are in the newest patch. They've unlocked everybody.
Oh, they better fucking unlock now, everybody. Yeah.
They better give refunds to everybody that paid.
So the funny thing is that like they had shut that shit down even before people could pay. But there are people who bought special editions that were supposed to give them shit that now are basically fucking useless and have been useless for months.
Right.
So now all of the extra shit, if I remember correctly from the article, is all cosmetics, which is hysterical because. Yeah. EA claimed that they couldn't do cosmetics, but now suddenly they're able to do cosmetics.
What? Oh, interesting. I guess when it comes to losing everything.
Yeah. It comes when Disney is like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Oh my God, Disney owns everything. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
What it was like, it ends up being sort of this like knock-on effect of EA like really fucking with the Star Wars franchise. Like you had this first like a single-player game that was being made by the studio that did Dead Space, right? People were fucking looking forward to it. They had, I remember her name's like Amy Hennig, the woman who wrote Uncharted, the Uncharted series. Like, you have a top-tier writer coming in, a top-tier studio, and you're fucking telling me that they couldn't figure it out? That this game, like, maybe the game had a lot of problems, right? It's entirely possible. It happens to a lot of really big, happened to fucking Mass Effect.
Yeah. Right?
But you're telling me that now you just happen to slip in. They're like, oh, now we're just kind of changing our focus to match what people want. Because people really love to pay extra money for randomized boxes. Like, no, I think there's something else going on here, you fucking
hell. Can you imagine if Overwatch did that when they gave their specialty boxes that you get those random? Can you imagine the outrage?
Oh, no one bought it. But the reason why Overwatch works so well is Blizzard, right from the start, was here are cool skins. Everything else we give to you.
Right.
You take this whole game is fucking free. You don't have to pump a single dollar into this to enjoy the game. Now, if you want some cool costumes or some other shit,
you can pay the money.
You can pay the money. And
even then, it's still reasonable,
and
the pricing.
You can easily earn boxes.
Well, like a game that it's not hugely popular, but I picked it up on Black Friday and I fucking love playing it is For Honor. Mm-hmm. That's the one you can play. There's Vikings, Knights.
Yeah, they're pulled out into like an alternate universe.
I dig the game. It looks cool. It's a cool game. Now, you can buy the season pass, or they give you the ability that you can just, either if you don't want to spend the money on the season pass, which season pass, it is what it is. I've bought season passes before. You can take the time to unlock a character.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like buying the season pass because I only play it every so often. So like I've had it for since Black Friday, and I just unlocked my first character.
Wow.
Because I play it every so often.
Yeah, but you're not playing it obsessively.
I don't mind because I already know I like all the other characters. I don't mind taking the time because I don't want to spend the money
on it. You don't feel the need. There's enough of an experience that exists there without it.
Correct.
Unlike something like Battlefront, which one of the big draws are the fucking hero characters.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know like Chad, he was talking to me when we were at your birthday party.
Chad, Pedro's, by the way, if
Pedro's birthday party.
You have heard.
That's right. Sorry.
Real quick, if you have heard, the Talking Geek Chad was on to talk about the Magicians. That's just to try to keep the Talking Geek universe all linked up together,
know the level of geekdom that we're talking about here.
Go back to here, Chad.
So Chad bought the game, and he was telling me he doesn't play the multiplayer. He replays the single player campaign because that's all he cared about because it's part of the canon. So it's
apparently not very good.
Right. Well, he dug it and he's like, I'm not even playing the multiplayer. Like the single player was supposed to be right.
Yeah.
The single player was the added bonus to the game.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't want to play the multiplayer.
Actually, the way he describes it is when he does play multiplayer, he just walks around and just looks at the scenery.
This is cool. Oh, shit, I'm dead.
He goes, oh, look at that scenery. And that's it. That's all that happens.
He dies and look at the ground. It's nice.
Yeah, look at the ground.
But yeah, bad form. Even though now they finally did, I guess better late than never. Maybe I'll pick it up on a discount.
Yeah, but that still sucks, though. I mean, it sucks in general that it leaves a bad taste in your mouth with actual.
But this was necessary because people were getting on that loot crate thing for so fucking long that somebody needed to have their ass bitten for them to realize, oh, maybe we should pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
I remember like the first time I saw this shit was when I played Mass Effect 3 because they had like a horde mode. And again, that one, really easy to be able to unlock all the characters from just playing it normally, or you could pay for it. And I remember being like, I bought it a couple times just because I put a lot of time into it. And even though it was a full price game, I enjoyed the experience enough to be able to be like, okay, I'll do that. But I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be fucked up in a couple years because I just paid full price for a multiplayer mode that's asking me to pay more to make things easier for me. So. Right. And lo and behold, it took about 5 or 6 years, but, you know, hit that flashpoint.
Right.
No, I mean, to be honest, everything goes through phases. Yeah. This is that phase. I'm glad that it's fucking ending, hopefully.
Yeah. No, it's going to be going on for a while, but not as bad.
Yeah. They'll probably go back to, okay, we're going to make this a little more manageable.
Yeah, there's certain games, like I'm picking up Far Cry 4 next week. You can get your special editions, but there's not really, it's like skins and stuff like that. But like, there's no real microtransactions. A microtransaction is there's a season pass that unlocks three mini campaigns that are ones like you're in Vietnam, ones that you're on a planet stopping an alien invasion.
Oh, cool.
And one is like a zombie mode.
Okay.
I'm getting three
but
new
you're getting
experiences.
Shit.
Yeah.
You're getting
it's
shit
not,
for it.
I'm
not...
paying $10 to my, so my AR-15 look has a,
it's shiny.
Has a pink, you know, gloss on it.
I just thought about because apparently the Call of Duty World War II is like fucking rife with all of these. And I remember the excitement of playing Modern Warfare 4 when it first came out was the fact that, you know, it encouraged me to unlock stuff and everything felt attainable.
Right.
Which I can probably guess things are not as attainable as they were before.
They make it harder. Every incarnation of Call of Duty has made it harder to unlock. I think when it comes to the actual upgrades of the weapons, they change up the different nuances of how to upgrade. I think those are easier, but certain things like skins, certain things like added weapons, that they make it it's getting harder and harder each time.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I just think that, you know, everybody's trying to make money somehow.
Right.
But it sucks that they have to go this far, like you said.
There are tons of problems with the video game industry. One of the ones is it ends up being sort of the Hollywood problem, is where you can't take anybody seriously about how much money they're actually making. Because for one, both of those industries are completely dishonest about the cost it takes to actually build everything. Everything is sort of fudged. You can kind of guess how much stuff is, but nobody's going to actually tell you these hard numbers. Right. So you can't tell if they're they're spilling crocodile tears or if they set things up for fucking failure. I'm trying to remember what game it was. I believe it was one of the Tomb Raiders and one of the Resident Evils, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, that came out, where the company, and I think it was the first Tomb Raider, where there's like, this has to sell 7 million copies across both consoles to break even. That's fucking insane. Yeah. If that's true, where did you fuck up along the line to design this? Like, no, don't do that. Scale it back.
Well, like the game I was telling you guys about that I'm picking up tomorrow comes out, well, when we record, it comes out the Friday the 23rd, called A Way Out, that it's a co-op. It's a strictly co-op prison escape game. Mm-hmm. But what the owner of the company that made the game, he tweeted out and he said, fuck buying two copies. If one person buys a copy, you get a free trial code that you give to your friend that they can play your full game with you.
Nice.
So they don't. So
that's actually pretty cool.
And it's $29. It's not even a full price game.
Yeah, no, that's a good budget price for
like
a game.
So like my one of my best friends and I were splitting the cost of it, and so we're each putting in $15, and I'm giving him the free trial code.
Perfect.
And we're playing the game together.
Great.
And so it's
that's
like
interesting.
So it, like that's a company that they're like, no, fuck it. We want you to play our game, and we know that sometimes some people they don't have the money for it. It's $29 and you only need one copy to play it with one friend.
And a lot of times these smaller companies, it takes them longer to be able to do it, and they have a larger risk. But I feel that they have a better understanding for how to, one, like, remain in the good light of the people that buy their games. Because you can pirate fucking games super easily.
Right.
Even, like, it takes maybe, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and you could crack any fucking game's the DRM, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or you can release a good experience for a reasonable price and talk to people like fucking people instead of like fucking little peons that are going to pay for your fucking games. I think like one of my favorite games of all time is Transistor, which is from a small company called Supergiant. They have like 8 fucking people, and that includes the guy who does the music and the girl who sings and the artist. Oh, no, the girl who sings is contracted, but and their main character artist. I mean, 6 people are fucking designing this game, and they've only come out with 3 games since like 2008. But each one of those games are so well done, and people love it, and they connect with their audience. And yeah, it does get pirated a lot, but people play it and they like it, and then they'll fucking buy it.
Right. And it's indie, but that's the thing. It's like indie.
But
the reason
why
indie
is. But they stay within their means. They stay within their fucking means.
But that's why that's the thing is that a lot more games that I've been hearing about now have been a lot indie based. But fucking Cuphead, for instance, is a huge one that people have been talking about.
Cuphead's
for a while.
Been in development for a long time.
Game, I've never played it, but that Hello Neighbor.
That one had some problems. Apparently, the AI was not as sophisticated as it needed to be to. But again, it was a good idea that people ended up liking and
right.
See, but that's the thing. I think that just like in tabletop gaming, I think that in the video game world, the indie scene is actually growing more and more each year.
Yeah.
There is obvious mainstays in the fucking video game world, but a lot more indie companies are showing that you don't have to be a fucking big name. You don't have to have the dramatic flair to have a decent fucking enjoyable game.
And sometimes an indie company will make a video game that is so popular.
Yeah.
That what happens, Pedro?
They end up making a board game out of their indie game.
Oh!
Segway!
That's what you call a fucking segway!
That's the fastest segway I've seen burning across the track.
Yeah,
it's looking right in the eye.
You
had a little spark. We're like, yeah.
Guys, all I do is set it up. That's all I do, all right?
I just hold up. Boop, and
all I do is I nudge it in the air.
And then
call me Scottie Pippen if you will. That's fine.
And I dead or alive bikini slap it down.
Still hitting light jab, light jab.
Light jab, light jab, light jab, light jab.
I think we figured out the name of this episode.
It's light jab.
So hey, yes, we're gonna continue with the segue. So in fact,
we're not gonna fall off the segue now.
Yes, we're on this fucking train, and on this train, we're actually talking about our actual review for this episode. I mean, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's a resource management game.
Kenny's already like halfway off the train before it even took off.
So you already know how this is. That I'm already reluctant with this game before we even started playing.
Let's tell everybody. The name of the game is This War of Mine, which is based off of an indie game published by Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of the developer, but it was really well known for being super fucking grim.
Yeah.
Based in, I believe,
it's like the Ukraine, or it's like
Bosnia.
It was the Bosnian Civil War. It was based in the Bosnian Civil War, and it's about surviving there, basically hiding out in a house, scavenging for resources.
Right.
And that's how the game worked. So I think they saw potential for making a similar kind of experience with board games.
Yeah.
The similar dreary, drim experience.
Yeah. So very much like the game, you are playing survivors in this war, and you have a house, which you are trying to fortify. You're trying to get enough resources to survive and just make it through all of the chapters. It's turn order. It's turn-based. You hit certain highlights, and then you finish off a chapter, and you move on to the next one until you can finish your last chapter.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We have played many resource management games, and there's varying levels of difficulty with it.
Right.
This is by far the hardest one that I've ever played.
No, off the
now,
jump.
Yeah. You're not playing versus. All of you have to play together. This is a game that is so reliant on teamwork that if one person decides to not show their cards to their fucking teammates.
What? Who did that?
They might not be able to plan.
Who the fuck did that?
I don't know who could have done that.
I wonder.
This motherfucker at the other side of the table.
You
want to
know what the fucked up part?
What?
There's an advanced side of the board that we didn't play.
Oh, yeah. We looked at that. So the way that you actually set everything up is that you have like a house and you have different rooms that you have to clear with rubble, which require tools.
Yeah.
Requires time. Holy shit. Time is your biggest fucking enemy in
this game. Time management in this game is fucking killer.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
And you're battling against different things that can happen. Your characters can get... You start off with three characters. They can get hungry. Right off the bat, they're hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
already.
Start hungry, and there it goes from level one, well, zero, that you're not anything, to four, which is basically you're dead.
Yeah, well, four is death. If you reach level four in any one of, like, that, I think it was, like, four, was it three? I remember it was hunger, it was thirst, and it was, mood,
sanity,
right?
Actually, there's hunger, illness.
Illness, that was
wounds.
Sanity, or?
No, well, it's not, misery.
Misery, thank you. Misery.
That's even worse.
And there was one more, and I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. But it's the different, but you start off with two hunger. So you're at two already, and you don't start off with enough water.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the resources to be able to deal with your hunger, the commonly available ones, one, not very common, and two, don't actually solve your hunger. They just keep you in stasis.
Yeah.
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 In the game, one of the cool parts about this game that I thought was interesting was to show you the level of fuckery that it has is that it doesn't tell you the rules right away.
No.
It just says start playing. That's what it just says.
Which is interesting. I like the kind of ballsiness of, like, you don't know what's going to happen in this game. You have a turn order you're going to follow, and then everything else will just fall into place.
Right.
Which is kind of problematic because this game took a long time to set up. There are a lot of cards, there are a lot of pieces.
I love setup.
Yeah. So you want to hear something funny that I was waiting to talk about it while you guys are on the air, because I want to hear your reaction.
Sure.
What do you think the play time for this is? The estimated play time on the box.
13 days.
For the whole game?
For the whole game.
13 days.
Okay. So
13 days.
When we played, we got about a chapter and a half out of three full chapters.
Right.
But
how many hours in?
It took like 4 or 5 hours.
To get to that.
So I'm going to say 15 hours.
Okay. Kenny?
I'm saying 13 days. I am not exaggerating.
The actual time frame of the game, according to the box, is 2 hours.
Oh, suck cute. A dick.
No, nope. Not even a little bit.
Who are
nope.
They?
Not
oh,
even a smidge.
Oh, no, wait. I get it. It's 2 hours because they already expect you to die by the second
hour.
Yeah. They don't expect you to actually survive.
We did really well on our playthrough.
We actually could have continued. Now, this is interesting. I've never seen this in a board game before.
Yeah.
You can save your fucking game.
We can save our game. It has a notepad that has basically the layout of the board and the key things that you need to save.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me, because when I saw that, I looked at everybody else in the room. I looked at Pedro and Jeff, and I said,
and
no.
My son that was sitting there playing.
And your son, which is great.
Just like, yo, you guys fucked up.
No, because he was wondering what was going on, and I'm just wondering, like, why the fuck are we playing this game? We're never going to finish it.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not that you can save your game. You will have to save
your game.
Yo,
you have to.
I don't see somebody being able to grind out this game in one fucking go, because...
And if you can, you literally have to speed through and literally shoot everybody to death. That's all it is.
Oh, and you have to be lucky enough, too. Again, it's a board game, so there's luck elements.
There's dice rolls.
And I actually think one of the other cool things about this game that I also haven't seen is that there's actually a real strong narrative aspect
yes.
to this, where there's a whole book attached to it, and sort of in the same way that you look at I keep fucking up the name of the House on Haunted Hill, or
right.
the, how that has
Betrayal on House
Betrayal
on,
House on the Hill. God fucking damn it. I keep thinking just of old horror.
Yeah,
it's like, right. It's all old horror. I'm thinking of Vincent Price.
I just
Price.
Nodded my head. I was like,
Vincent Price in the spooky house.
it's haunted.
It's like my fucking favorite fucking voice. Gotta completely knock myself off of what I was saying. So that definitely has...
The narrative.
It sort of has a narrative to it because of all the different ways that the game can think. But this literally has a whole fucking
notebook. A whole narrative. It has a book, yeah.
That will have like specific paragraphs and pages that you have to go to depending on events, which actually gives it a unique feel every time that you would play this, if you would play it multiple times.
Right.
But I actually like that because I get it. Like, this something feels like role-playing.
And if you do the voices like I did.
Oh, yeah, no, you
Well, you were trying, like, the thing is that, this is in Bosnia, so you have to have the Soviet Russia.
Oh, no, the day has come.
The day has come.
Oh, and I will say this, there were some moments where shit got kind of real, of, like,
real
choosing,
moments,
of
yeah.
choosing of just, like, no, we're leaving that fucking baby. Like, we cannot take that baby. I can't leave a baby. Leave the fucking baby.
And then what did we do? We take the
baby.
We know it was going to die.
The baby died, and we all got super miserable.
We left it in a room. We knew it. We should have just left it.
You should have just left it. You should have ate the fucking baby.
So one thing that we didn't experiment with when we were playing that I found out about after is that there's actually an app.
That goes along with
it. Oh, there's an app. Along with the game.
Huh.
Now, what's cool about it, and I'll just briefly talk about it, is... It has all the scripts, and it has a keypad that you can easily, because the book has about 2,000 or so scripts, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just punch in the number, and it'll pop up the, and you can, it's the choose your own adventure, like whatever you decide.
I like that. That's pretty
cool. Okay.
Now, it gives you the save option with the chart to fill in all the information. For lockpick, in the game, when you're doing lockpick, you roll a die. They actually make a mini game. That you
that's
five,
cool.
You have five tries.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like
now,
that.
Now, the coolest feature, I guess this is where they realize that 2 hours is bullshit.
Yeah.
Is when you scavenge. Because basically, at when the night's over, or when the night's starting, you can send people.
Oh, that's right, because there's three phases.
Exhaustion.
Right.
That was the last one, because that's what we have to fucking balance exhaustion.
There's three levels. There's three parts to every day in the game. Obviously, there's morning, afternoon, night. And in the morning... You fucking recover what, you know, you guys do what you do during the day. You know, in the afternoon, you find out if you get to eat or not. And then at night, and then at night, you have to go scavenge for shit.
And guard.
Oh,
guard.
Yeah, that's the other thing that really fucks with this, too, is that, like, people will fucking bum rush your house.
Yeah, there's night raids every night.
And if you fuck up, they take your shit.
Night raid.
But so the thing is, you have to balance of scavenging and sending people out to three, because they'll give you an option of three locations, and you work, the way that you explore is through cards, exploration cards.
Yeah.
And depending on the location you pick is how many cards you get.
Yep.
And that's how you can potentially find shit to bring back.
Or potentially die.
Right. And that was interesting, because that also was kind of like the callback, the Resident Evil and some of the card building games. Like, you had almost like a card building element with going in and trying to fucking find anything you can to survive in this fucking hellhole.
See, but what this game did that Resident Evil did not do was it made me worried.
Yes. No, there's
this
tension.
This game, every time you flipped a card, it was... Oh shit, is this the time that my character's gonna die?
Right.
That's exactly what it was.
Are they opening the door to the giant grenade in the face?
Yeah.
But so when you're scavenging, that's what they call when you're exploring. What the phone has and the app has is really cool. So it has a little clock. I'm showing both of you because you're on either side of me.
Yeah.
You start the clock and you time your scavenging.
Okay.
Now what's cool now, but what happens is like, so if you finish early and you click it with it before the time runs out, there's potentially bonus things that you can get that aren't in the regular game.
Okay.
So, like, for example, I stop it now and it says, hey, got anything worth trading? You perform a trade action to exchange tokens from the findings pile for any other tokens for zero commission. So, like,
well, that's handy.
That is very handy.
So it's random stuff that the normal game doesn't give you.
It's like an enhanced version.
What it sounds like to me is that they made the game easier. That's what it made it easier.
Right, and they sped it up because you want to finish it in that time. Now, the other cool thing is if you see this little bar here, that's your noise meter.
Yes, you make noise when you're scavenging for stuff, and bad things happen if people hear you.
So that's your noise meter, I guess,
instead of the marking.
Here's the thing. It picks up your noise.
On the table?
On the table.
Oh.
And it goes over, it reacts, and it says, roll for noise.
Oh, that's cool. That's fucking cool, because everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
Now, I'm going to say this, Jeff. where the fuck were you when that, when we were playing this game?
I know
that you didn't have this app.
Well, I didn't find out about it till we were 3 hours in.
3 hours in, you're like, oh no,
I'm not gonna tell that.
Like, hey guys, there's an app.
We'll talk about this later.
But
no,
but
no, but the crazy part, the biggest thing is the actual inventory. Is what you, is your resources. If anybody's played resource management, and we've talked about it in depth in different games that we've played, the whole point of resource management is you have to make decisions based off of the of what of your materials, of what you have. And this game, if nothing else, makes you feel like you're making a real world decision.
Right.
You're sitting there and you're like, man, I really need that shotgun. I cannot give up my lockpick.
I cannot trade this fucking shovel. I need
this
shovel.
I need and this shovel to survive.
Well, yeah. And no, and the other aspect we didn't talk about is that you actually build stuff to upgrade your house.
Yeah.
So there's that. You start off, there's a list of, there's a deck of basic things you can upgrade. And then there's the advanced versions. And that's the other thing, because those take the materials.
Yeah.
That you need, which one thing I do like about the game is like for the components, it's those cool little cogs. And it's actual like
stuff visualized things.
Yeah, and the wood is actual lumber pieces. Most of the rest of it is tokens.
Right.
But then you also have your miniatures of all the different characters because you're randomized on who your survivors are, just like in the video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not, then it's that aspect of, do we need a stove to battle the cold, or do we really need that metal shop
to
be able to build filters and other things that we need to
And we got lucky the first chapter that we didn't have to deal with the cold at all.
Right.
Once we started getting in the second chapter, cold started becoming a major issue. Right. So this already has like a pretty steep learning curve to be able to survive. You hit following chapters and it just starts ramping that up even more than it was before.
No, and the crazy part about this game, because of course, well, it's everything's crazy about this game. A lot of dice is involved when it comes to rolling for percentage on whether or not You get hurt,
somebody, yeah.
You shoot somebody, things like that. There's an aspect of this game where you get to look out. That's literally what it's called. It's called lookout, where you actually just, for lack of a better word, peek your head outside of your building to see whether or not you see somebody. Now, you have to roll, and if you roll really bad.
A one,
you get shot by a fucking sniper
which
that
we know,
just happens to be there.
Which we know because Kenny rolled a one.
Yes.
Yeah, Kenny got shot.
On now, a 10-sided die.
No, yes. Yes. It's a 1 in 10. That's a 1 in 10 chance, guys.
You have a 10% chance.
Right?
He's hiding cards. He's getting people sniped in the face.
Now, look, I hit the
Not
card
a good teammate.
Because... No, I hit the card only because... And the thing is that you get certain things in the game. You get cards that you can use that tell you can use it at any time. And I just held it because I know that it wasn't going to affect us if I didn't tell anybody.
Fucking tell your teammates. I don't want to die.
Right? But the thing about Lookout is if you don't die, if you don't get shot and the character doesn't die, if the big word, which frankly enough, it's funny because in the game, what's crazy is that there's people that have died. We've had in total, we've had 6 people in the game. 2 of them died.
Not counting the baby.
Yeah. Right. One of them died of misery. Straight up fucking misery.
Yeah. Hung herself.
Hung herself. The other person died of I believe it was hunger.
Yeah.
And he just, because we couldn't feed him. This is like, fuck it, you're
dead,
bro.
Yeah, because food is super hard to come by. Water is easier, but food is and it's expensive.
And all water does is just stabilize your hunger. Food literally says, no, now you're declining.
Yeah, and in the water, it's either hunger or misery because you roll for it if you don't have water to drink.
And, oh, man. So, and then to add on to all of this difficulty, then you just have random events that happen.
Right.
Like, for instance, there might be an explosive that destroys your fucking basement.
After you've cleared it with a saw blade.
Or entirely fucking put shit in there.
Oh, my God. It's better than fucking losing the attic. God, we had a bunch of shit up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was starting to set up for the basement.
You were.
I was like, I finally got a saw blade. I was like, hey,
I'm
doing
something.
Yeah, we're
going to cut into this.
Missile. Fuck.
See, but that's the cool. One of the things I like about the game is the fact that your character, like you're not so worried about one person. Everybody controls all the characters that are
right.
in the game. And in our game, characters came and went, literally.
Yeah.
With Lookout, if you get lucky enough, you actually find more survivors to come in.
Right.
The more people there are, obviously, the better chance of you to create and build and scavenge. The down part is people got to eat.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And find resources for them.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's hard because you have to make those tough decisions. Do I make a fucking shelter? Do I make a water catcher, a rain catcher for water? Do I make a fucking trap to catch the capture animals to eat raw meat? Fucking, hey, a can of fucking corn in this game is fucking...
It's really expensive.
Really fucking expensive.
No, just suck dick for a can of corn in this game.
I think it's very fascinating.
Like Jeb.
Just like the game. Like, it actually kind of makes you stop and think for a second, like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Like, and
I don't want to visit the Ukraine.
Don't want to go through that.
No,
not in the slightest.
Who was it that had to do that whole scenario where you had to run through an open field with gunfire?
That was myself. And
when you were reading it, it was
Kenny. And here's the thing. There's things that happen while you're scavenging that you... It's like a story. You're literally playing a narrative.
Yeah.
And in the story, it is a choose your adventure because it tells you... Like, that's the crazy thing is that in the game, a random card will show up and says, read this number off of this... You know, read...
Right. Yeah, yeah, from a narrative book.
From a narrative book. And it'll tell you, my scenario was we were running through a fucking, I forgot what it was. I think it was a hospital. We were going to get shot at. We saw snipers. I decided to choose, fuck it.
You had rebels who were like, yo, we need you to carry these fucking weapons.
Ammo, right.
You have no fucking choice. And Kenny was like, okay. I guess I'll do it. And he was just like, I don't care. This sucks.
Yeah. So like the whole thing was you can tread quietly or run. And I thought to myself, if I tread, and he survived. Yeah, if I tread quietly, I think I'm going to get shot because there's a fucking sniper regardless. So I ran through, I did all this shit, fucking made it by the skin of my teeth. And what do I show for it? A bottle of fucking whiskey. That's all I get for this fucking, this character got fucking shot. Character came back. That character ended up dying. And then it was just, for a bottle of whiskey, guys. Here you go. Everybody, Merry Christmas.
Everybody get crunk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a bottle of whiskey is something, you know.
Especially on that situation.
Well, yeah, for sure.
So, all right. So let's talk ratings because we didn't finish this game because for the obvious reasons of it being fucking forever.
Yeah, we were supposed to record that night.
Yeah, that was not going to happen. Yeah, I was so. Yeah,
you guys
dead.
Came when it was daylight.
Yeah,
and you came fairly a week relatively early, and that game just sucked everything.
Fuck
up.
No, we weren't gonna do fucking no recording after that.
Yeah, so let's, Kenny. I want you to go first here because I want to hear your resource rage.
Kenny, tell me, Kenny.
All right, guys. There's a lot. Okay.
Let the hate power through.
I'm going to say right now, I started already. Everybody here starts at a 10, and then they work down. Me, I started at a 5, and I had to work.
Oh, my God.
Depending, because of the fact that this is resource management, I'm already at a loss. This is not my forte, okay? Let's go with the cons. Get the cons out of the way. Game's too fucking long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a resource management game.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that the setup is ridiculous. This is a resource management game. The fact that there is a lot of components that if we weren't playing with somebody, because Jeff actually played this game before us, if it was all just fucking virgins playing this game for the first time. This game would have taken a lot longer than 4 hours.
Yeah.
So that right there. Plus, it's a fucking resource management game, guys. It was really tough for me in that aspect. The pros of this game. The fact that it made you feel something in this game that for a second, I sat there and I go, what the fuck am I going to do in real life if I ever come to this point?
Yeah.
Made me go, wow, this is actually an interesting, like, this is in retrospect, this is actually a very interesting way to play a game, to actually feel how somebody would be in this game. Like, it gave you consequences that a video game normally would, that you don't normally see in a board game.
Right.
So even though I am giving this a lower rating, because it's still going to be a lower rating, it's really because of the replay value. I can never see myself playing this game, the same game. If I don't finish it the first time around, I'm not playing that game again.
Right.
If we go back, it's all new. We're starting this up. We're rolling it. Hopefully, we'll finish it. I will give this a 6. I'm going to stick it at a 6. However, again, this is on the preference of myself.
Right.
Because this is a 6 for me. Normally, if this game did not make me feel the way, I would have given it a Catan score of fucking 4 or lower.
Yeah.
But the fact is that
it did something interesting.
It was an interesting way of playing this game. Resource management games are not done this way. And if they were done faster, if you were able to play this faster and actually have a replay value in my mind, this would have a higher score.
If it were only one chapter.
If it was one long chapter, great. If you wanted to make this a living board game and go on to a second chapter afterwards and you're game for it, by all means. But the fact that this is a three chapters off the bat, you already know, and we just finished the first chapter 3 hours in. Yeah, this is one of those that I can't.
Yeah, you can't recommend as
but
much.
A six. I'll give it a six. You know what?
Yeah, no,
you said
six.
Six,
yeah.
Six, six. I'm going to
stick, stick with it. Stick with it.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jeff?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
no. The mic.
Oh, wow.
The mic.
Getting your light jab in there.
Light jabbed into my face. So, I own the game. but I have to admit, and I've played it three times now, because I played it once before you guys, once with you, and then once after. I don't know if I'm going to be that in a hurry to play it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is such a long game. It is such a strenuous
draining experience.
And it's such a draining experience. Yeah, like, it's a fun... I enjoyed the game because it was so hard. Like, put it in perspective, the guy at Cool Stuff Games, when I bought it, he goes, "We've played this 13 times and we haven't won once."
You know what? And I believe him.
Yeah?
Yeah. I totally believe him. I was like, nah, bullshit.
Yeah.
Three times in. And, I mean, the last two times... I did fairly decent. We just had to stop. I don't know if I'd be super adamant to or in a hurry to play this game again. I'm going to go with probably a seven rescue babies.
Seven hanging by a thread babies.
Yeah, it's just I unlike Kenny, I do enjoy resource management games.
Oh, so this is actually a pretty low score for you then.
Yeah. Wow. I do like resource management games. There's some out there. There's one that one of my friends has that I do want to play with you guys that I think you'll really like.
You know what, Jeff? I enjoyed the fact that you were so excited and you brought these games that you wanted us to play. I need you to just pick another game besides Resource Management. I just need you. We could do that another time.
I got it. No, that's fine.
Save me!
That's fine. I have other ones, but
we have the card. We did a card battle.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's right. True. That's
we still have the thing that we're waiting on too.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm really excited
for that one.
But yeah, I do enjoy Resource Management, but yeah, it's a taxing game. Like, it's not the game that you play when you're wanting to have fun with your friends.
Yeah, it is not a casual experience.
Right. The last one we played, Battle Mount Skullfire.
Oh, that's fucking great. Yeah.
That's a
good time.
That's a game that it's good times or ruins friendships real quick. Yeah.
Right.
One of those. But this game, I honestly think that this game that we're reviewing is more of a, this shows how much how well you can work together.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm also going to give the same score that Kenny. I'm going to give it a six. Not because of the quality of the game. So I actually think that this is a very well-planned, well-structured, well-designed game. But it just boils down to the fact that, like, it's just a lot of setup for something that honestly doesn't feel fun.
Right.
I enjoyed the time, but it definitely wasn't fun. It was super stressful. It took a long time to be able to even feel like we had a foothold, and we didn't even have a foothold until the end of the chapter, until we were 3 hours in. And I definitely think it's something that people should play, but maybe not buy. If you could go to a place that has it, there are plenty of shops that will rent out board games.
Yeah.
I would say go there when you're in a good mood, because this game will just drag you fucking down.
I agree.
And it's not like a video game, which is easy to pop in and out of. Like, again, the amount of time it takes to fucking set this up kind of drags it down. But this is a six, just basically because it's not easy to pop in and have fun. This is something where you have to plan out.
Right, right. And honestly, guys, so that's what I think.
Six and a seven.
Six and a seven. So that's 6.5. Yeah. I mean, to be quite honest, that's not the lowest score we've ever given. We've gotten ones that've had way lower scores.
Yeah,
and they're see my dog
and the dogs
agree.
Are fucking.
My
dog
I mean, it's not a bad game. That's why, like, it's not a bad game. It's just it's a niche game.
Very niche, yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't think a 6.5 is necessarily terrible.
It's not. It's okay. And again, it's one of those things that's subjective. If you guys out there listening to this have played this game, and you think that we are assholes and that this should have a higher score, by all means, let us know. Tell us why you think that this should be a fucking 7, 8, 9, even, I don't know who out there is going to say 10, but out there that can tell us that and give us your reasons why. Or even still, tell us a game that is, you know what, how about this? Tell us a game that's worse than this. Fucking tell us. Tell us a game that's
Resident
worse than
Evil.
This. Resident Evil deck building game by far is always going to be the worst fucking game.
Yeah, that was pretty bargain basement.
It's pretty bargain basement. And of course, I had to buy it because it was fucking Resident Evil. And then, yeah.
You still haven't let me play it.
I don't want you to. Yeah, I don't. Exactly. I feel so bad. If you, hey, after this, we'll play it, and then you can say in the
I
next
am playing
episode
it. Why you two yeah. are playing that. I'm playing on my fucking Switch.
No, but seriously, guys, let us know how you feel about this game. Let us know how you feel about the news from the new esports arena. Let us know how you feel about microtransactions. Tell us what you hate about Trump. I'm sorry, I don't know why that came up.
Not the right podcast. The right podcast. I'll commiserate with you, but like,
but I don't know where that came up. But seriously, anything that you want to hear from us, any games that you want us to review, please, by all means, share, like us, follow us, comment on anything that we have. Let us know how you feel. By all means, Pedro, where can we find you besides, obviously, Crit or Die?
You can find me over at Instagram, at Gurren Lagann, like the robot anime. And you can find me over on Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S.
Very nice.
Ooh. Ooh, and Jeff, what can they
so
find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at gmerk82 because I haven't come up with the new name yet.
That's fine.
All like right. I said in the last episode. I'm trying to post more. I am on a couple other podcasts, Shiver, a horror movie podcast, the Mount Geekmore podcast, and occasional segment of Rot or Not where we watch movies that are less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes and figure out if they really are that bad.
That's pretty great.
Oh, that's pretty great. Awesomely bad movies.
Yeah.
And you can find me, as always, on Instagram and on Twitter under the handle Mr. Underscore with underscore in between each word.
Perfect. So perfect.
It's so perfect.
The best name.
And guys, again, thank you so much for listening to us here on another episode of Crit or Die. And as always, we're going to
come in for a landing. Watch out your trays and your seatbacks in their upright position. Take out your dick and get ready for the light jab.
Make sure you have light jab.
Well, guys, you know, again, thank you so much, Jeff, Pedro.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you, Pedro.
You know, why do I feel like we're auditioning for NPR?
Because this is how it is every time. We come with excitement, and then we're just left with no energy after we come.
We didn't have enough water for each of us.
Oh, no.
It's a lot of dehydration.
It's dehydration.
Oh, God, you're bringing me back to the game. Oh, no. You're pulling me out of my immersion.
Bring it down. You're thirsty. Okay, you can't be that loud.
All right, guys. But thank you again. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Crit or Die, The Three Amigos.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys so much.
We do.
Until next time.
Bye.
Fuck that baby.